Chapter 71. Good and bad angels. I was going out at my door on the morning after that deplorable day of headache, sickness, and repentance, with an odd confusion in my mind relative to the date of my dinner party, as if a body of titans had taken an enormous lever and pushed the day before yesterday some months back, when I saw a ticket porter coming upstairs with a letter in his hand. He was taking his time about his errand then, but when he saw me on the top of the staircase, looking at him over the banisters, he swung into a trot and came up panting, as if he had run himself into a state of exhaustion. T. Copperfield Esquire, apostrophe said the ticket porter, touching his hat with his little cane. I could scarcely lay claim to the name. I was so disturbed by the conviction that the letter came from Agnes. However, I told him I was T. Copperfield Esquire, and he believed it, and gave me the letter, which he said required an answer. I shut him out on the landing, to wait for the answer, and went into my chambers again, in such a nervous state, that I was fain to lay the letter down on my breakfast table, and familiarize myself with the outside of it a little, before I could resolve to break the seal. I found, when I did open it, that it was a very kind note, containing no reference to my condition at the theater. All it said was, "My dear Trotwood, I am staying at the house of Papa's agent, Mr. Waterbrook, in Ely Plus, Holborn. Will you come and see me today, at any time you like to appoint? Ever yours affectionately, Agnes." Apostrophe, it took me such a long time to write an answer at all to my satisfaction, that I don't know what the ticket porter can have thought, unless he thought I was learning to write. I must have written half a dozen answers at least. I began one, "How can I ever hope, my dear Agnes, to efface from your remembrance the disgusting impression there I didn't like it," and then I tore it up. I began another, "Shakespeare has observed, my dear Agnes, how strange it is that a man should put an enemy into his mouth," that reminded me of Markham, and it got no farther. I even tried poetry. I began one note, in a six-syllable line, "Oh, do not remember," but that associated itself with the 5th of November, and became an absurdity. After many attempts, I wrote, "My dear Agnes, your letter is like you, and what could I say of it that would be higher praise than that? I will come at 4 o'clock. Affectionately and sorrowfully, TC apostrophe with this missive which I was in 20 minds at once about recalling." As soon as it was out of my hands, the ticket porter at last departed. If the day were half as tremendous to any other professional gentleman in Doctors' Commons as it was to me, I sincerely believe he made some expiation for his share in that rotten old ecclesiastical cheese. Although I left the office at 3:30, and was prowling about the place of appointment within a few minutes afterwards, the appointed time was exceeded by a full quarter of an hour, according to the clock of St. Andrew's, Holborn, before I could muster up sufficient desperation to pull the private bell handle let into the left-hand doorpost of Mr. Waterbrook's house. The professional business of Mr. Waterbrook's establishment was done on the ground floor, and the genteel business, of which there was a good deal, in the upper part of the building. I was shown into a pretty, but rather close drawing room, and there sat Agnes, netting a purse. She looked so quiet and good, and reminded me so strongly of my airy fresh school days at Canterbury, and the sodden, smoky stupid wretch I had been the other night, that, nobody being by, I yielded to my self-reproach and shame, and in short, made a fool of myself. I cannot deny that I shed tears. To this hour I am undecided, whether it was upon the whole the wisest thing I could have done, or the most ridiculous. "If it had been anyone but you, Agnes," apostrophe said I, turning away my head, "I should not have minded it half so much. But that it should have been you who saw me, I almost wish I had been dead, first." Apostrophe, she put her hand, its touch was like no other hand upon my arm for a moment, and I felt so befriended and comforted, that I could not help moving it to my lips, and gratefully kissing it. Sit down, apostrophe said Agnes, cheerfully. Don't be unhappy, Trotwood. If you cannot confidently trust me, whom will you trust? Apostrophe apostrophe ah, Agnes. Apostrophe apostrophe I returned. You are my good angel. Apostrophe she smiled rather sadly, I thought, and shook her head. Yes, Agnes, my good angel. Always my good angel. Apostrophe if I were, indeed, Trotwood. Apostrophe she returned. There is one thing that I should set my heart on very much. Apostrophe, I looked at her inquiringly, but already with a foreknowledge of her meaning. On warning you, apostrophe said Agnes, with a steady glance, against your bad angel. Apostrophe, my dear Agnes, apostrophe I began, if you mean Steerforth apostrophe, I do, Trotwood, apostrophe she returned. Then, Agnes, you wrong him very much. He my bad angel, or anyone's. He, anything but a guide, a support, and a friend to me. My dear Agnes. Now, is it not unjust, and unlike you, to judge him from what you saw of me the other night? Apostrophe apostrophe, I do not judge him from what I saw of you the other night, apostrophe she quietly replied. From what, then? Apostrophe apostrophe, from many things trifles in themselves. But they do not seem to me to be so, when they are put together. I judge him, partly from your account of him, Trotwood, and your character, and the influence he has over you. Apostrophe, there was always something in her modest voice, that seemed to touch a chord within me, answering to that sound alone. It was always earnest, but when it was very earnest, as it was now, there was a thrill in it that quite subdued me. I sat looking at her as she cast her eyes down on her work. I sat seeming still to listen to her, and Steerforth, in spite of all my attachment to him, darkened in that tone. It is very bold in me, apostrophe said Agnes, looking up again, who have lived in such seclusion, and can know so little of the world, to give you my advice so confidently, or even to have this strong opinion. But I know in what it is engendered. Trotwood, in how true a remembrance of our having grown up together, and in how true an interest in all relating to you. It is that which makes me bold. I am certain that what I say is right. I am quite sure it is. I feel as if it were someone else speaking to you, and not I, when I caution you that you have made a dangerous friend. Apostrophe, again I looked at her, again I listened to her, after she was silent, and again his image, though it was still fixed in my heart, darkened. I am not so unreasonable as to expect, apostrophe said Agnes, resuming her usual tone, after a little while, that you will, or that you can, at once, change any sentiment that has become a conviction to you. Least of all a sentiment that is rooted in your trusting disposition. You ought not hastily to do that. I only ask you, Trotwood, if you ever think of me I mean, apostrophe with a quiet smile, for I was going to interrupt her, and she knew why, as often as you think of me to think of what I have said. Do you forgive me for all this? Apostrophe apostrophe, I will forgive you, Agnes, apostrophe I replied, when you come to do Steerforth justice, and to like him as well as I do. Apostrophe, not until then? Apostrophe apostrophe said Agnes. I saw a passing shadow on her face, when I made this mention of him, but she returned my smile, and we were again as unreserved in our mutual confidence as of old. And when, Agnes, apostrophe said I, will you forgive me the other night? Apostrophe, when I recall it, apostrophe said Agnes. She would have dismissed the subject so, but I was too full of it to allow that, and insisted on telling her how it happened, that I had disgraced myself, and what chain of accidental circumstances had had the theater for its final link. It was a great relief to me to do this, and to enlarge on the obligation that I owed to Steerforth for his care of me when I was unable to take care of myself. You must not forget, apostrophe said Agnes, calmly changing the conversation, As soon as I had concluded that you are always to tell me, not only when you fall into trouble, but when you fall in love. Who has succeeded to Miss Larkins, Trotwood? Apostrophe apostrophe, no one, Agnes. Apostrophe, someone, Trotwood, apostrophe said Agnes, laughing, and holding up her finger. No, Agnes, upon my word. There is a lady, certainly, at Mrs. Steerforth's house, who is very clever, and whom I like to talk to Miss Dartle, but I don't adore her. Apostrophe, Agnes laughed again at her own penetration, and told me that, if I were faithful to her in my confidence, she thought she should keep a little register of my violent attachments, with the date, duration, and termination of each, like the table of the reigns of the kings and queens, in the history of England. Then she asked me, if I had seen Uriah. Uriah Heep? Apostrophe apostrophe said one. No. Is he in London? Apostrophe, he comes to the office downstairs, every day, apostrophe returned Agnes. He was in London a week before me. I am afraid on disagreeable business, Trotwood. Apostrophe, on some business, that makes you uneasy, Agnes, I see, apostrophe said one. What can that be? Apostrophe apostrophe, Agnes laid aside her work, and replied, folding her hands upon one another, and looking pensively at me out of those beautiful soft eyes of hers. I believe he is going to enter into partnership with Papa. Apostrophe, what? Uriah? That mean, fawning fellow, worm himself into such promotion. Apostrophe apostrophe, I cried, indignantly. Have you made no remonstrance about it, Agnes? Consider what a connection it is likely to be. You must speak out. You must not allow your father to take such a mad step. You must prevent it, Agnes, while there's time. Apostrophe, still looking at me, Agnes shook her head, while I was speaking, with a faint smile at my warmth, and then replied. You remember our last conversation about Papa? It was not long after, that not more than 2 or 3 days, when he gave me the first intimation of what I tell you. It was sad to see him struggling between his desire to represent it to me as a matter of choice on his part, and his inability to conceal that it was forced upon him. I felt very sorry. Apostrophe, forced upon him, Agnes. Who forces it upon him? Apostrophe, Uriah, apostrophe, she replied, after a moment's hesitation, has made himself indispensable to Papa. He is subtle and watchful. He has mastered Papa's weaknesses, fostered them, and taken advantage of them, until to say all that I mean in a word, Trotwood, until Papa is afraid of him. Apostrophe, there was more that she might have said, more that she knew, or that she suspected. I clearly saw. I could not give her pain by asking what it was, for I knew that she withheld it from me to spare her father. It had long been going on to this, I was sensible. Yes, I could not but feel, on the least reflection, that it had been going on to this for a long time. I remained silent. His ascendancy over Papa, apostrophe said Agnes, is very great. He professes humility and gratitude with truth, perhaps. I hope so, but his position is really one of power, and I fear he makes a hard use of his power. Apostrophe, I said he was a hound, which, at the moment, was a great satisfaction to me. At the time I speak of, as the time when Papa spoke to me, apostrophe pursued Agnes, he had told Papa that he was going away, that he was very sorry and unwilling to leave, but that he had better prospects. Papa was very much depressed then, and more bowed down by care than ever you or I have seen him, but he seemed relieved by this expedient of the partnership, though at the same time he seemed hurt by it, and ashamed of it. Apostrophe, and how did you receive it, Agnes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I did, Trotwood. Apostrophe, she replied, what I hope was right. Feeling sure that it was necessary for Papa's peace, that the sacrifice should be made, I entreated him to make it. I said it would lighten the load of his life, I hope it will. and that it would give me increased opportunities of being his companion. Oh, Trotwood! ! Cried Agnes, putting her hands before her face, as her tears started on it. I almost feel as if I had been Papa's enemy, instead of his loving child. For I know how he has altered, in his devotion to me. I know how he has narrowed the circle of his sympathies and duties, in the concentration of his whole mind upon me. I know what a multitude of things he has shut out for my sake, and how his anxious thoughts of me have shadowed his life, and weakened his strength and energy, by turning them always upon one idea. If I could ever set this right, if I could ever work out his restoration, as I have so innocently been the cause of his decline. ! I had never before seen Agnes cry. I had seen tears in her eyes, when I had brought new honors home from school, and I had seen them there, when we last spoke about her father, and I had seen her turn her gentle head aside, when we took leave of one another, but I had never seen her grieve like this. It made me so sorry, that I could only say, in a foolish, helpless manner, "Pray, Agnes, don't. Don't, my dear sister." ! But Agnes was too superior to me in character and purpose, as I know well now, whatever I might know, or not know then, to be long in need of my entreaties. The beautiful, calm manner, which makes her so different in my remembrance from everybody else, came back again, as if a cloud had passed from a serene sky. "We are not likely to remain alone much longer," said Agnes, "and while I have an opportunity, let me earnestly entreat you, Trotwood, to be friendly to Uriah. Don't repel him. Don't resent,
as I think you have a general disposition, to do what may be uncongenial to you in him.
He may not deserve it, for we know no certain ill of him. In any case, think first of Papa and me." Agnes had no time to say more, for the room door opened, and Mrs. Waterbrook, who was a large lady, or who wore a large dress, I don't exactly know which, for I don't know which was dress, and which was lady, came sailing in. I had a dim recollection of having seen her at the theater, as if I had seen her in a pale Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.